You're listening to Waiting for Change, a State of Opportunity special from Michigan Radio. Much of our national debate about immigration reform focuses on unskilled foreign-born workers. But there is another side. The highly skilled workers with the knowledge that businesses so badly need, technical, engineering, science, mathematics. Tel Ganeshan is the CEO and president of Kaiba Incorporated. It's an engineering services and software product company based in Farmington Hills. Tel believes that national policies on immigration must change if we want to hold on to our place as an industrial superpower. Tel, spell out the problem that you and other employers face.
Right now, I think we are at a war for, you know, talent, right? And so we're not finding enough people that could do the jobs. And so that's a huge challenge that we all have.
And what kind of fields are we talking about?
We're talking, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math. Basically anything to do with computer science, engineering, information system, those kind of jobs.
And so when you're saying we're not finding enough people, you're meaning the U.S.-born graduate, somebody gets out of college, is looking for a job. And why is that?
So the reason is that the economy is producing more jobs in those areas than what we are outputting from the colleges. So if you really look at, you know, the last three, 4 decades, the number of enrollment in those STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, math, they have calmed down. But then the economy is producing, you know, from auto manufacturing, now we moved into digital economy. And if you really look at the state, now we are moving into connected cars and autonomous vehicle. So the economy is constantly changing, but our education system is not producing enough graduates in line with what the economy, where it is trending. And that, because of which, the gap continues to widen.
So the answer for companies across the nation is to look overseas and bring in workers from other countries.
I mean, the solution to that is twofold. So the near term is that we cannot, you know, produce engineers today. We got to work the system. So therefore, the near term is to, you know, bring the best of the best wherever they are. And that's what America is known for. We are the land of immigrants. And so we brought the best and the brightest to work on these areas and to rev up the economy. So that's what we need to do in the short term. In the long term, we got to focus on how do we, you know, motivate our kids to pursue science, technology, engineering, and math so that we produce more than what the economy is looking for.
Tell, when you're looking for someone to fill a job opening, how hard do you look for American employees, American-born employees? What's that process like?
So, I mean, most of the companies, we look for U.S.-born citizens, right? So it's not that our goal is to go and hire people from outside the U.S. because, you know, with the outside the U.S., it's a very long process. We don't want to, no employer wants to go through that. So the problem is, if they are U.S.-born, they're already picked up by major corporations. So it's not that they don't have jobs. Anybody who is a STEM educated, U.S.-born, they already have multiple jobs, right? So it's not that you're trying to displace them. So the issue that we face, you know, whatever we are hearing is really people who don't have the right degree but want to pursue in them, and they may complain, and that is one of the issues that we are seeing. So it is only those situations. In fact, we go to almost all schools in the state of Michigan, and we go around the country to recruit people to keep the pipeline going, and we are not finding them enough. And they're already picked up on, you know, on-campus job interview, so we don't find anybody. And so that's the challenge that we are facing. So we try every attempt to hire a U.S.-born worker. In fact, our workforce is almost 90% of them are U.S.-born citizens and permanent residents of this country.
What's the process, Tel, that you as an employer need to go through? Let's say you've got, I'm just going to pick a number out of the air, you have 5 engineering jobs you need to fill, you've looked around, cannot find U.S.-born candidates. What do you have to go through to look outside of the U.S.?
You know, we have to recruit them. And to recruit them, you know, we have to go through a very rigorous process with the UICIS, you know, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. And you pay, you know, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 per person and process the paperwork. And you have to plan about 5-6 months ahead of the, you know, when you want to bring them on board. And that too, you got to, with the way the there is a lottery system. And right now, your odds of getting one is only 30%.
And this is the H-1B visa we're
talking about. The H-1B visa. In particular, this highly skilled non-immigrant visa that we utilize to fill the gap.
So you're planning ahead. Your candidate, meantime, is kind of in limbo,
yes,
waiting to see if they wind up getting picked.
Yes. And the company, you know, and the things changes in business. And things changes. It's such a dynamic state. But then we assume everything is so static, and we are working with an archaic process with the government.
And we know that last year there were 65,000 foreign-born workers allowed to enter the country and work through this H-1B visa. So every submission is tied to a specific available job. And yet there were more than 170,000 jobs that needed to be filled, but there just weren't enough workers. So
what
does it cost you as an employer? You're speaking for the other employers that are going through this. What does it cost you when a job goes unfilled?
You know, we don't improve the top line. We don't improve the bottom line. And then, you know, we're not able to grow. So had we gotten those kind of resources, then probably we would have increased our bottom line or the growth rate by another few percentage points. And then they all add up collectively to the companies and collectively to the U.S. economy.
Because it strikes me, I can imagine that one foreign-born engineer could create something that could then in turn wind up creating American jobs?
Oh, absolutely. It has all a trickle-down effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of stats out there. I think, you know, every one H-1B worker being hired, we end up creating two other or three jobs for the local bond, right? So it's not that this, you know, you're coming and taking away the jobs. You are trying to fill a gap that exists that nobody is able to fill.
Now, there have been some highly publicized cases of abuse of the H-1B program. I'll point to the most notable one, which was the Walt Disney Corporation,
sure,
where 250 American IT professionals at Walt Disney World had to train their replacements from India, and then they were laid off. How would you change America's immigration system to help fill the talent gap but prevent the kind of abuse that we saw at Walt Disney World?
Yes, as with anything else, Cynthia, you know, you would have these kind of abuses. And we need to, you know, have some measures to prevent those kind of abuses. Just because you have abuses in isolated cases, you cannot go down and cripple down the whole process.
Tal Gunnation is the CEO and the president of Kaiba Incorporated, an engineering services and software product company based in Farmington Hills. Thank you so much for being with us and bringing your insights as a CEO to our special today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Cynthia.
The lottery system that allows only a limited number of foreign workers to get that coveted H-1B visa is a problem for employers like Tel and hopeful college graduates like Nahal. Originally from India, he graduated this past May from the University of Michigan, Dearborn, with his master's degree in automotive systems engineering. He came here to study on a student visa, also known as an F-1 visa. Now he has a week to find a job or he'll have to go back to India.
So I was counting on this job offer at one of the big three companies. So I applied directly, I got a call, I got interviewed, and then they were impressed with my qualifications. So then they decided that they wanted to hire me, and they did. And then I got the offer letter, but then they didn't ask me, like, and I didn't tell that I'm an international student and I'm on F-1 visa, and then I would need visa sponsorship at some point of time. But then it came down to it, so I did tell them, and then they canceled on me. So they canceled the offer. And I was counting on them, and then I thought, like, I'm safe now. But then all of a sudden they decided to cancel on me, and then here I am left with 1 week, and then with no other options or very few. I lost an opportunity, right? I wanted to do that. It was like inclined to what I would like to do, but then I couldn't do it. So this was not the first time. Even I have this happened to me before as well. You know, one time with another Asian employer, that's again a big player here in the automotive industry. I got a call from them. Again, I told them I'm an F1. They said again, we can't do it. We just won't be able to do the visa sponsorship for you. And then again, another major supplier, same thing, they emailed me back asking, like, what's your visa status? I replied saying I'm an F-1 international student, F-1 visa holder. Again, they didn't even get back to me. So three or four times. And then, you know, another reason that they wouldn't want to sponsor me is because even if they file for sponsorship, okay, there is again this lottery draw thing in H-1B. So even the employer is not sure, neither I am sure that I will be picked up in the lottery. So I know many people who get picked up, but there are people who don't get picked up. So again, the employer will lose their employees, right, that they have invested a lot of money on. So I have until like 15th August, and then maybe if I'm not able to find a job or anything in those time, I'll have to leave the country. I don't have much time left. I have like a week left. I'm very confident about my abilities. Like after 3-4 years, I plan to become a successful engineer, you know, like working on vehicle programs, helping to build like future-ready vehicle models. We need to put our voices out, right, so that the US government, the USCIS, the Customs and Immigration Department will hear us, and then they would realize what difficulties the students will face, and then they would, you know, implement something to help us.